Welcome to the Future of Tourism Podcast. I'm David Peacock.
Stop owning your own content.
Young leaders are stepping up.
Bring everyone to the table
and imagine their world anew.
Question. Is there a way to combine digital development and legacy value creation? Answer, talk to Ben Switzer, Chief Growth Officer of XR Studios, and Ed Tomasi, co-founder and managing director of esports powerhouse SubNation. Ben and XR have been developing augmented reality assets for tourism destinations, empowering immersive environments to captivate audiences through audio and visual technologies since 2019. Ed has been leading SubNation's esports advisory services team, developing and executing strategies for municipal and regional markets looking to build or grow their esports ecosystems. In both cases, it's a deep and consultative process with stakeholders from across the spectrum. And in both cases, the end result is a very polished, high values, always on digital asset that will serve the destination and its citizens for years to come. Ben, how are you? Where are you first?
I am great. I'm actually in Toronto right now on the Danforth at a little cafe here in Greektown, just enjoying myself visiting here.
It's great to see you. Ed, where are you today?
I am in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's fall is starting to arrive and, feeling good.
Have the trees changed color there yet?
Up in our mountains, they're starting to. Yeah. Not so much here yet.
They're just starting here. It's pretty splendid. Hey, it's great to see you both. I know we've had a busy 10 months probably since we last talked. I want to talk to something that's pressing right now. You guys were at Destinations International's international conference in Toronto. I've been to a number of conferences. The same questions on everybody's lips. We no longer in tourism spend money without creating legacy value. As we move away from more traditional advertising and marketing forms, everything we do has to have value to it. Ben, I throw the question to you first. XR was created basically to create value in assets. Talk to me about the digital legacy value of XR Productions and how it works.
Well, you know, when we're thinking about creating assets within a community or an ecosystem, we're really asking the question, what's the cultural legacy that already exists here? What's the fabric of the community? And how do we translate that into an experience that feels modern? And this has been particularly useful around things like murals, other works of public art, as well as things like national historic sites, where we've developed sort of experiential extensions of those things that are already there, which is really convenient for a lot of different ways. One being, you don't need a permit to go and create an augmented reality immersive experience that extends from a piece. So in public space, you might be looking at, from a legacy perspective, construction, development, temporary activation and shutdowns and festivals and things like that, which can be more complex and expensive. What we love is the ability to go into that community, form a collaboration, a partnership, and create an authentic cultural experience that is in this augmented reality world and stands the test of time, for decades into the future.
So, Ed, same question to you. SubNation doesn't do stuff that doesn't have legacy value. You literally help destinations build successful esports initiatives. I think about the work you've done in Raleigh and Waterloo that I know about, but tell me about the legacy value of SubNation.
Yeah, I mean, the legacy value is super important because the first challenge that we're faced with, and I think all destinations are faced with, is like, who are they and why are they there? What's their why is the latest question, right? And in developing what that latest why is, we look to then create those digital assets that complement and enhance those assets. So for example, if we're looking at venues to host esports events at that we're trying to promote to the esports ecosystem, saying, hey, come here, we've got a venue, we need to show that venue in through digital means, not just physical. And in doing so, in creating the assets, those digital assets, it provides not just this layer of information that now esports producers can go in and understand the weight of the ceiling and what type of rigging they can put in there. But it also, in and of itself, having the asset in and of itself is a trusting layer. So now all of a sudden these producers are saying, here is a destination that took the time and put the resources towards digitizing physical assets of their destination. It's living in a space, whether that's on a website or whether that's in a linked directory for access from them. And that in of itself shows that they're a trusted destination. And so the legacy component of it is twofold. Number one, the information that gets communicated in a digital form, and also a trust in the fact that they are on at the edge of technology in digitizing these assets.
So very interesting. I'd never even considered that. So a reference point that I can think about is when we put together big games bits, not in esports, but in general sports. So for the Canada Games or the Ontario Games, one of the requirements for most sport hosting destinations, ones that are, you know, into big sport hosting, is that they have those assets digitized. So what you're saying is along the way, you're finding destinations that haven't digitized great facilities and assets. And as a result of esports, they're actually creating some of these documents, which I can tell you from my own experience, we spent tens and twenties of thousands of dollars compiling just to make bids before, right?
Yeah, there's a mix of destinations that have these digital assets already, whether there's drone footage, of which is essentially a digital walking tour of a building, or the CAD drawings or tech specs. They can be made. Some of them are just not made for esports. And so We need to look at them and say, in our esports production lens, what's important? What do we need to communicate? How do we communicate that in a simple format, and then go off and either amplify what's already existing or create something that's not?
So you're helping them build tools that have enduring value, in short.
Yeah, and I think that they're seeing that the value of these tools is greater than sometimes being able to pay for a flight to do a site visit, right? Because a lot of times that's a long and expensive process. Whereas as if you're offering these digital assets where someone could at their time and expense explore them, right? And all of a sudden realize that this is the right venue, this is the right market. Let me now go there physically, and that meeting or those meetings and visit becomes much more valuable and I think more, just more productive.
Wow. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate that granular look at assets. I wasn't even thinking that granular, but I can see it in the work that I've worked with you on. That's pretty cool. Ben, over to you. Can you give us a living example of an enduring digital asset? And I have a personal favorite one. I think you know what it is. It's in London, Ontario. But could you sort of walk us through that? And in some context, tell the story, because I think COVID was a really important catalyst in that becoming manifest, that project. And that project really led to a whole bunch of other people kind of opening their eyes and saying, I kind of get it now. So can you tell me about the project? You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, of course. I know that you love the Banting House project. So for a little bit of background, for those that aren't familiar with Dr. Banting, he was made this pioneering discovery of insulin, treatment for diabetes. He's from London, Ontario. In the city, we have a national historic site. There's an ever-burning flame there on the site, which is only to be extinguished once a cure is found. So it's a very important cultural landmark inside the city. For a lot of people, though, when you're a resident, it's also kind of a place you just drive by and don't think too much about. And so we were in touch with the house and kind of had heard these problems of disruption from COVID. One being, it's a space in which you invite people in. A lot of the content is curated within that space. In the context of COVID, it wasn't possible to do that. So that was the first problem that we saw. The second was a problem of audience engagement. Younger audiences, they just weren't vibing with plaques and historical documents. It's a little bit boring for them. They're accustomed to more fast-paced experiences. Esports is actually a great example of that. Now you mention it. And so we actually approached the Banting House with some funding from Communitech and some of the other regional innovation centers to as part of a digital Main Street lab. And we wanted to create a solution for them that would modernize their exhibit and also make it a safe and accessible experience. So we worked with the curator, developed the on-site experience, which is a full virtual replica of the bedroom where the discovery was made, with a 3D animated character of Dr. Banting waking up and having this eureka moment, you know, in the twilight hours of the night, and then talking about this discovery. And then, you know, this experience fades and it has many different phases to it. But what we found was the engagement was very high on this experience, and the appetite for younger audiences was so strong that now the school board has integrated this in some of their curriculum. And so now you're getting more long-term consistent engagement from a younger audience that's talking about how this is fun and cool and better than sitting in class and reading a textbook.
Okay, and then you can access this on site if you were lucky enough to be there when it was open, but you could also access it, you know, after hours standing outside or in a classroom or anywhere else, right?
Basically, you have to be on location to access it. That's the only sort of constraint, which actually makes it a good tourism product, because it's like, if you want to have that experience, come to London and, you know, book a hotel. Come check out all of the cultural history that we have in the city.
Have you ever thought about taking a subset and a teaser of it and putting it out into the education system? Because I know you've already proven there's an appetite there, which would be very interesting to get groups coming in.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because we have been working with educational institutions on the use of this technology, and we're about to publish a randomized controlled trial comparing like textbooks versus AR and in master's level environmental science. And what we found is that students have found it more engaging, they enjoyed it more, they learned more, and they felt more confident going into the exam from consuming content that way.
Wow, but what a beautiful continuum if you can get the student to read about it, experience it in AR, and then actually show up at the event. There's, you know, in a sense, they're simulating the event before they get there, which means they'll be 10 times more receptive to the input when they do get there.
Yeah, exactly. And like one of the things we thought about, you know, trailers are a really good idea, but it's like, it really is a teaser. Like you know, we give them a slice of the experience they can have in their home or like conference, let's say, for example. But then it's like, if you want the full experience, you have to take a meaningful call to action that feeds into the metrics of our partners and our clients.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that, because you're speaking to a self-selecting sample who isn't put out by that idea. They're actually encouraged and motivated to go and do something. Very cool. Ed, switching gears, coming over to you. During COVID, there was not a lot of destination development happening in tourism in the world. I mean, there were some places that managed to shift. They were often outliers who were already ahead of the curve, and they continue to work on destination development. But one of the remarkable projects that did happen was Waterloo Region, 4 years into its, actually 6 years into its esports, into its sports hosting strategy, saw the opportunity with two technical universities, with a college, with a huge technical history. It is the home of BlackBerry and Research in Motion, saw the opportunity to maybe launch esports. Tell us about the Waterloo initiative during COVID.
Yeah, I mean, the initiative was pretty groundbreaking for a market of that size. You know, usually you think of these larger markets that have seen other larger markets host esports events at these larger scales. But for a destination like the Waterloo Region, they don't have the capacity of a venue to host a 25, 30,000 esports production that's at a global scale. So what was really innovative is that they knew this going into it, but they also knew that they were good at hosting sports and had a long history and a trusted history of doing so. So that combination and their effort in focusing specifically on esports and building a strategy for the esports, we were able to start the conversations with the venues, start the conversations with the communities, the publishers, the various partners that are in the market, from hotels, to internet providers, to corporate partners, as you mentioned, We all started these conversations, and that was the real like wake up moment for everyone saying, we know that this esports market is, you know, can attract a different type of visitor, both physically and digitally, but it's also supporting the local ecosystem, the colleges and universities that you mentioned. And they had already started their initial, you know, foray into esports, whether it was a team that was an official varsity sport, whether it was a club that was supported from the CTE perspective. They were all going down the road of supporting and standing up their own esports program. So the timing of this, you know, it was, I don't, you know, there's no perfect timing when you're dealing with a massive pandemic, you know, but the fact that the world was really focusing in on the fact that there weren't any live events to be distracted of, and they were focused in on developing a strategy so that when we came out of the pandemic, that they would be a leader and had their strategy and plan and would sort of put their foot on the gas pedal. That was really the great moment that was started, and developing the strategy again gave everyone in the market an education, everyone in the market a voice. We pulled all the pieces of the gear, you know, all the gears together and sort of developed this plan. And with that, developed those assets that they could then use to then market themselves, not only to the esports producers, but also assets that could be utilized across all different types of groups. So whether it was the, you know, the hoteliers, or whether it was the, you know, the restaurants, they knew that there were marketing assets that were speaking to this particular audience that may not have seemed new to the college students, but certainly to other venues and marketers that were in the area. They were new to esports, but you know, they quickly had a ability to learn.
So this is an important distinction here too, when I talk about XR and about Subnation. Ed, you were brought in to do a consultation, which you did, but you didn't just do a consultation. Waterloo was actually able to make a few key investments and create, and with your help, create some legacy value, not the least of which is some of those specs around facilities. The big one for me, though, is there is actually a stakeholder-based, stakeholder-driven esports commission now in Waterloo, 2 years into this. Tell me about WREC, a digitally enabled esports commission. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so REC, WREC.GG is the digital destination, and it stands for the Waterloo Region Esports Commission. This commission was formed to elevate gaming and esports and be sort of that group that not only looks to attract visitation through hosting of esports and gaming events, but also looks to support the local and the regional activities, which are those 365, right? Those 365 moments. Because a lot of times destinations, and I still see it mainly on the countryside, perhaps on the state side, where they're focused in on those large events. And those large events are one and done. They live maybe 5-10 days out of the year, right? And so the Waterloo Region Esports Commission made sure that it had a sort of a broad spectrum approach to elevating and supporting gaming and esports. They're doing that through the digital asset investments that they've made so they could attract those national and international events. But they're also supporting at the local and the regional level, not just through the colleges, but they're working with local game publishers like Odyssey Interactive to look to see if they can build a festival around their newly launched game that seems to be growing in popularity. Similar shades of Fortnite here. I'm not predicting anything, but they have a great crew, home base in Waterloo region, right? So the commission is now this bridge for the community that they can go to for education, as well as financial support, as well as networking. And, there's an information layer in there as well. Part of that education is to educate what can be done and how it gets done.
So an always on legacy value asset for Waterloo, yes or no?
Absolutely. I mean, not just from a, you know, the digital destination perspective, but from the human capital that was definitely invested in and is still strong today.
Super. Ben, I want to talk about the Grand River, one of my favorite places, a river that runs some 200 plus kilometers through the middle of the province of Ontario. You got involved. You got pulled in by its gravity at some point. You're doing a number of projects there that I think really represent a great strategic use of nominal amounts of funds to create legacy value assets. Can you talk about any of them at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Waterloo, in fact, is one of the regions where we have several projects that have kind of arisen out of those discussions around what the value of that natural asset can be to the tourism strategy, what the historical impact of its stories can have on the sort of cultural legacy of the whole region, but also like, how do you make that a cool, fun experience that people want to see and want to experience? And I think that it's been exciting to be able to sort of translate some of those cultural experiences into modern, sort of sophisticated experiences. And we're doing everything from, you know, augmented reality extensions of like a historic site to building interactive installations that are like physical artworks that are using light, sound, movement that you can interact with as a real like physical interaction, and building community around those installations and activating it with programming. So you're getting people out this mix of like the physical and the digital in such a way that you're not really sure where one begins and the other ends.
Let me stick a pin in that one, though. All of these ideas, though, actually come from the respective community groups that want to further that story, and XR plays an enabling role in there. So the first Black settlement outside of Fergus is an output of the Guelph Black Historical Society, right?
That's correct. So, you know, that's one of the perspectives that's been taken. Just, you know, we just launched a tour of this Heritage Hall in Guelph, which is a beautiful church that's been renovated, and it's now a cultural center where people come, they perform, it's a community space. We want to really tell that story. And that's really, and this is one of the interesting phenomena that I think is related to kind of what Ed has done too, which is you drop a pebble in the pond and you have this ripple effect that is so integrative that people start to connect to that story, that vision, that narrative, and then they find ways to be included, ways to expand the impact. So now, emanating from the church and the tour there, we're going to be covering the region. And then our ambition is the entire province, you know, looking at the Underground Railroad, looking at the reclaiming Black history and telling the story of those settlers that struggled and persevered and landed here in Canada. And in a lot of ways, their story was lost. So it's a beautiful way to bring that story to life and in a tourism experience and sort of look at all of the different components of that culture along the river and in those cities and be integrative, created as one on one platform. And that's been really one of the most amazing things about it. We'll go into a downtown, and this has been the case in many cities now, like we're doing this in San Francisco, as well as Ottawa and Toronto. You come in the downtown, you have a very niche cultural focus, but an integrative vision for the technology. And all of a sudden, everybody starts showing up and saying, hey, this is what augmented reality means to me. And let's create an experience together. We help them to produce that experience, connect it all together.
So, and it's not always narrative content. Sometimes it's different things. I know it's not happening yet, but there have been discussions about developing an interactive report card for the Grand River, literally a series of temperature and climate sensors up and down the river that someone could access real time. A further extension of digital and a further creation of digital enduring asset, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing like ecotourism, sustainable tourism is a hugely emerging market, especially younger audiences that they have a sense of responsibility, but also that comes with a sense of status in the consumption of that experience and the sharing of that experience in their social groups, which is very rewarding for them. So we've been wanting to kind of mix this idea of like environmental education and climate action, experiential tourism, like fused together. And the technology is really well suited for that because we can pull that data in, show them something cool, give them an action to take that's socially mediated too. So they're doing it together, and now they're forming a memory that is going to establish like a sense of purpose and a spiritual growth of these things that they're seeking as tourists.
Very cool. Grand River, Waterloo Region. Keep your eye on that space. All right, going back upstairs. We've talked about nascent asset development through digital, but Ed, a great example of really well-developed digital asset development for SubNation, the work that Danny Edwards and Lauren Gold and team have done in Raleigh. I mean, during the pandemic, I think they landed one of the biggest EA conferences, is it? Tell me about Raleigh, one of the gemstones.
Yeah, I mean, in 2019, we landed the Rainbow Six event, and that sort of put us on the map, right? And then when the pandemic hit, because we had already been on the map and seen as a trusted destination and very proactive in developing, you know, healthcare, health protocols and putting together a health concierge service for esports players, we received that even in 2020, for 4 weeks, we had over 20 esports players that were playing for the U.S., mainly from the West Coast, that were flown in and put into this bubble, physical bubble, but social separations and whatnot, and obviously protocols that were kept. We had then hosted them in the middle of a pandemic. They were playing esports from Raleigh, North Carolina. When we're looking to come out of the pandemic, a lot of them were starting to look for venues. And as you know, in the destination world, there was a pent up demand. And so either things that had gotten canceled or were postponed, now all of a sudden we're first in line to get dates. So the dates for the first 12 to 18 months were very limited. We were lucky enough to have availability at the venues that were desired by the esports organizers to be able to host two events in 21, and now we're hosting four events in 22, and there's many more in the pipeline for 23. So again, being able to develop all of those assets, right, and the message, and going out there and communicating both digitally and physically, whether it's attending a conference and representing the destination. Greater Raleigh has done, you know, a tremendous job in being able to land these events, but be at the forefront of innovation in a sense where they even look to, you know, develop a state bill that incentivized esports organizations to host events in the state. Raleigh is obviously one of the number one recipients or benefactors of this bill, but that's because it started preparing years ago to develop the assets and the messaging that was required by the esports world to understand where they should be going. So, you know, while the state's going to benefit from things like the bill, we've been able to secure a lot of the major global events and have put Greater Raleigh on a scale as a traditional tier one globally when it comes to esports.
Fantastic stuff. All right, we'll round it out here. Ben, what's your favorite project, the one you think delivered the most value and the thing you really enjoyed and the one that endures? And I'm really going to focus on the enduring piece here. I've seen lots of great things that are one-offs, but we're shifting in tourism from using money like that. What's the one that endures and that you like the best?
Okay, so it's interesting because it was our first piece ever that we did. And we discovered so much that was behind the technology through this process that it really educated me on like what its value is. So this was a mural project in Dundas Place in London. It's called Under the Sea Mural. It's a gargantuan mural, like huge mural. And we wanted to do this augmented reality experience with it. And oftentimes we like to collaborate with the artists, right? Give me your vision. Let's extend your vision. Let's amplify your voice. You know, what we found was the artist had passed away. We Wow. created that mural. And it was through that process, learning that we connected with his family and learned that this is now a memorial for his life's work in environmental justice. He was one of the co-founders of Sea Shepherd, like fighting whaling, illegal whaling operations off the coast of Japan. And so what we learned with this this mural had an incredibly deep, emotionally charged story just hidden right beneath the surface. And we enabled the ability to tell that story. And so we created the experience working with his family. You hear his daughter talking about his life as you're like interacting with this crazy under the sea experience, like tentacles and like fish swimming all around you and stuff. And then the other piece that was really interesting about it was, in the midst of our development, a construction went up. Huge building goes up right beside it. All of a sudden, nobody can access this thing, right? So we're like, okay, what are we gonna do? So we took a drone, we went out, we scanned the whole building, and then we moved the whole entire experience to a safer location. So you can see the mural and the AR experience in a location that was actually strategically superior for the downtown business district in terms of people moving around and things like that. So we conserved the mural and we found the deeper story behind it in the same project.
So you physically moved the mural?
Digitally. We created an exact digital replica of it, and it's like huge. It goes in for you in augmented reality, and then the experience comes out of it towards you as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Very, very, very cool. All right. Same question to you, Ed. You've been working on this a bunch of years. What's your favorite legacy value thing, the really thing that fills you up? Thanks, Ben. That was great. So, Ed, what's yours?
I mean, it comes in the form, it's never ending in a sense that it comes in the form of all the inbound inquiries for destinations that may not have been on the map for esports organizers, but now are. So the legacy continues to live on. I mean, from a physical standpoint that has AR and digital components, you know, I recently lost back in January a dear aunt of mine, and she was an artist and she was a teacher. And at the same time, we were working with the city of Raleigh, the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, Visit Raleigh, and with Subnation being commissioned to develop an art mural that was based on gaming and esports. And we were able to hire an incredible local artist, Taylor White. She put our vision and our process and put it into her own and you know, this lives in downtown. And the cool thing about it is that it has these AR components that we have access to 24/7. So when events and activities do happen, even till today, people can go physically to a mural that was painted last year. But then they can get up-to-date information on activities and events in gaming and esports that's happening today. So there's this legacy of this beautiful interactive mural that was done a year plus ago that is still giving out relevant information as of today and will into the future. So I think that's one of my favorite projects that we put together that mixes art and gaming and digital assets.
I think it's really interesting that just pure synchronicity, you both end up on a mural project. Isn't that interesting? And it's interesting from a couple's perspective, you know, the uncanny synchronicity, but also this, as we move through this continuum from digital excellence, and we were just getting our heads around it, sort of 4 years ago, and then boom, in the middle of COVID, it all becomes necessary. We have to get better at digital. As we look towards the other end of the continuum and Mark and his metaverse and that kind of thing, I think one of the reasons you sort of both love those projects is they represent that intersection where I can stand there and do something I'm familiar with, look at a painting, but I can have a deeper experience. I really appreciate that. So legacy value of digital assets. I think we've given a number of great examples as to where they exist and how they exist. They're not preponderously expensive to develop. They require thoughtful engagement. I can hear authenticity through both of your stories. There's no question that's part of it. Words of wisdom to our peers who are out there in various destinations looking at making themselves a more integral part of their social fabric, making themselves a more respected and trusted source for telling the narrative of place and helping shape it. Any words of wisdom and encouragement? I'll go to you first, Ed.
I think collaboration is just the key. I think that's the word of advice here. We're working with several organizations at various levels, whether that's at a you know, a city level where they have a smaller budget, or whether it's at a state level where they have a slightly larger budget. But, you know, for the same goal, you've got to talk and collaborate and not overlap efforts. And you need to help educate, because there might be folks that do understand it, and then there's folks that don't understand it. And you kind of can't get ahead of one another. You've got to be there at the same point for it to be successful. So collaboration is really the biggest piece of advice. I see it in the most successful destinations. While it'll always be a challenge, you know, once you really focus on putting that at the forefront of the ones that are going to come out with things that are memorable, lasting, and powerful.
Thanks, Ed. All right, Ben Switzer, take us home from the Danforth in Toronto. What do you got?
Wow. You know, I have to just agree with Ed. I mean, he said it so well. This type of technology works best when it's used together. And I think when you're a destination, you really have to do a good ecosystem analysis and sort of say what partners will have a stake in this. And that allows you to multiply your ROI because you're drawing from different budgets. It allows you to authenticate what you're creating because you're getting closer to a grassroots level more and more. I think you've got to have that top-down bird's eye view perspective, but you got to be prepared to hit the street, talk to the artists, talk to, you know, the gamers, talk to the venues that are hosting this, you know, the DJs. Like, you've got to get down in to the street level, but you've got to have the funding, you've got to have the vision, you've got to have the strategy. And then meeting in the middle is like that sweet spot. We've got a project that will engage, you know, thousands of people, but also like serve those higher level metrics that you're trying to achieve.
All right, guys, it's always a great pleasure to catch you both at the same time. Not an easy feat. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great day.